About a year ago, we had an opportunity to search for a new children's pastor. And so we received dozens of resumes and phone calls, and we did personal interviews, and we kind of narrowed it down to a select few that fit a certain criteria that we really believed were very important for the chemistry of our church, but likewise for our doctrinal beliefs and the foundations of truth that we kind of live by here at Wildwood. And David became one of the prime candidates during that time. And the two reasons that David stood out to us so well above some of the other candidates was his obvious love for the Lord. There was no mistaking the fact that he is madly in love with Jesus Christ. So that certainly bode well for him in being invited to come, but certainly spoke well of his walk with the Lord as well. And we understood how important it was to get the right person with our children's ministry. We don't take that responsibility lightly. Most people make a profession of faith before they're 18. So our children's pastor and the people that work in that department, along with our youth pastor and the people that work with Pastor Terry, that's an incredibly important time for us. We understand that. So David's love for the Lord was obvious. The second thing that I think really put him over the top was his love for Scripture. I mean, he just loves the Word of God. So we knew that's what the kids would be taught and the basis by which David would do all of his instruction and teaching, and all the classes would follow suit in that organization. So I can tell you now, a year later, almost a year later, that I couldn't be more pleased with the person that God led us to choose, the person that God called to Wildwood Baptist Church to be our children's pastor. And this Sunday, you have your first opportunity to hear what your children get to hear each and every Sunday. Maybe in not the exact same way that he says it. He'll do it a little differently. He's got a little different peer group this morning. But will you give a very warm welcome to our children's pastor, Mr. David Johnston?
Well, thank you, Pastor Rick. It is a blessing and an honor to be here this morning. And I had the privilege of knowing when I was going to speak. Pastor Rick asked me a month or so ago if I would speak. He said we'd be in between series. Asked me if I'd speak the week after Thanksgiving. And so it gave me free rein. And I said, well, why don't we talk about Thanksgiving? So I looked through the Bible. It's something I've never spoken specifically on before. And so searched the Scriptures and thought, what does the Bible really say about Thanksgiving? And so as I looked around and studied, I came along the book of Colossians. And so this morning, we're not necessarily talking about Thanksgiving the holiday. Well, that's certainly something that's probably on our minds. But what does it mean to give thanks to the Lord? So as we think about that, turn to Colossians, and you probably have thoughts of Thanksgiving this past week in your mind. It means, even the holiday itself means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. We think about the pilgrims and the Indians. I shared before in the earlier services, I got 2 weeks ago to spend Thanksgiving with the preschoolers, and they were dressed up like pilgrims and Indians. They had their hats and their vests, and they were eating fish sticks. And at least that's what I think. I don't know what fish sticks has to do with Thanksgiving, but it looks like that's what they were eating, and they loved it. And so whether it's pilgrims and Indians, whether it's food, whether it's football, whether it's time with your family, we all have different thoughts of Thanksgiving. If you come to my family, we do a couple of things. We always put a 1,000-piece puzzle together on Thanksgiving, because that's just a tradition we have. We also eat caramel cake every Thanksgiving because my grandmother's birthday, and it happened this year, fell on Thanksgiving. So she turned 90 years old this Thanksgiving, and we got to celebrate that with her. And so we all have these different traditions and things that we think about. You may go around the table. Our family did this 1 year. And you go around and you mention things that you are thankful for. And so I decided, in light of this, to go and survey the children and ask them what they were thankful for. So I went around one at a time, and I walked up and said, tell me one thing you're thankful for. And most of them, you probably will not be shocked, said that they are thankful for God. They are thankful for their family. They are thankful for their mother and their father. And so I didn't count all those. There were lots of those. But we had a few other answers I thought I'd share with you. Someone said, I am thankful for eating turkey. Someone said, I'm thankful for the good stuff. I don't know what that is, but they're thankful for it. They're thankful for candy. One child is thankful for their trampoline. One said they're thankful for coming into the world. And then my favorite was, there's a child, I said, name one thing you're thankful for. I've kind of looked up and thought for a second, and they said, me. And so we have all of these different things that we are thankful for. But what does God delight in? What does he delight in? And what does he want us to be thankful for? And so I came to the book of Colossians, not because it mentions thanks more than any other book. Probably Psalms does that, if I had to count it up. It over and over says, give thanks to the Lord for, and it mentions something, all these different things to be thankful for. But the book of Colossians mentions thanksgiving in every single chapter. No other book of the Bible does that. It mentions thanksgiving in all four chapters of the book. And so looking through that, I decided to see, what does Paul talk about when he shares to the church in Colossae what thanksgiving is? And if you're familiar with letters back in this time, back when Paul wrote the letter to the church, you're familiar with the fact that Paul would open up, and not just Paul, but people in general would open up first with an introduction. They would tell you who they are. This letter, if you look in verse 1, is not just written by Paul, but also by Timothy. And so they would introduce themselves, writing the letter, and then they would open up with a greeting of thanksgiving. That was a very common thread through all of these letters. But this is not always the case. The church in Galatia did not have that advantage. Paul was very straight to the point. He came up to them. He opened up with his introduction, and then he said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you to the grace of Christ. Can you imagine sitting there that day waiting for this greeting of thanksgiving, and Paul introduces himself, and then you're getting ready for him to say, and I'm thankful for you because, but no, Paul says, I'm astonished that you've abandoned Christ. I can almost imagine a husband and wife sitting next to each other, and he looks at her and goes, did he really just say that? And so they're normally used to this introduction and then this greeting of thanksgiving. But it's not just something Paul does all the time. He gets to the point, and with the church at Colossae, he comes and he says, I am thankful for you, and then continues it all the way through the whole book and talks about not just why he's thankful for them, but about what it means to have thanks. And so let's look at that this morning. If you haven't already turned there, you can turn to the book of Colossians, and we're going to start off in chapter 1. Paul opens up with this greeting to the church, and he says this, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before, the word of truth, the gospel. And Paul opens up, and twice in these opening verses, he already mentions Christ. You may have heard before, Colossians is the most Christ-centered, the most Christ-rich book in the Bible. It talks more about Christ and who he is than any other book. And so this is central to Paul, not just in what he's telling them about Christ and who he is, but in his thanks for them. Notice what it says he is thankful for. It says he is thankful for Christ and their faith in Christ and their love for others in Christ. And so the first thing we see this morning is, as we look at thanksgiving and what is a biblical view of thanksgiving, we see that more than anything, thanksgiving should be rooted in Christ and the hope of heaven. And when he writes there and he says, I'm thankful because of your hope laid up for you in heaven, he's not just talking about the hope that they have in heaven of the pearly gates that they'll get to walk through, of the streets of gold that they'll get to walk on, of all the things that we think about in heaven. I know sometimes people say, we're going to get to have our own mansion, and we're going to get to eat a big buffet. It's going to be like Thanksgiving every day, and we're going to get to go around and do all these great things. And there's going to be no more pain and suffering in heaven. And while I know much of that is true, regardless of all of that, our hope in heaven is in our Savior in heaven. What would heaven be like without Christ? And so Paul opens up with this letter saying, I am thankful for you because of your faith in Christ and the hope you have in heaven. But so many times we get lost in the good things and we miss what's central to the message. And so even in the beginning here, it can be easy to get lost in the hope of heaven and to think heaven is so great because there's going to be no more pain and suffering. And we're going to have glorified bodies. And we're going to get to worship God all the time. And really, that's what's central, not all those other things. And so when we look at it, first, before we look at what is central to Thanksgiving, let's take a look at what is not central to Thanksgiving. What is Thanksgiving not based upon? Because heaven's not based upon the fact that there's no more pain and suffering, the fact that there's pearly gates and streets of gold. Heaven is so great because Christ is there. So we're gonna take a trip around. We're gonna go a couple of different places. First, we're gonna land in Matthew 6:33. A very common passage that people speak on a lot. You've probably heard it before. Many of you heard it. Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's teaching them about what they should not be anxious about, what they should not worry about. And he goes and he talks about how we should not be anxious about what we eat or what we drink. We shouldn't be anxious about what we're going to wear. And then he ends that section and he says this. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added onto you. And so in this message of Jesus trying to explain to them how we live out our faith, and he says, listen, don't worry about what you'll eat or you'll drink or you'll wear. Too many times I think we read this passage and we go, gosh, we just have to put God and his kingdom before everything. But notice he says, we should put it before what worrying about what we'll eat and drink and what we'll wear. I don't think any of us in this room have a problem with that this morning. I think everyone's got clothes on, all right, from what I can tell. We've all, I think, probably had a meal this morning, or we're about to get one for lunch. We all ate a lot on Thursday, most likely. We're not worrying about what we're going to drink. All of those things are taken care of for us. And so that's why this message is so much more important for us, because all of those things are even taken care of. So even more of a reason to seek God's kingdom first above the things of this world. And so the first thing we're going to look at is that Thanksgiving should not be based on material things. It shouldn't be based on just the things that we have. Certainly, should we be thankful for those things? Absolutely. I am thankful for the things that we have. I am thankful that we have heat in the building this morning. I got up this morning, and for the first time in the fall, winter, whatever you want to call it, I got up and had to scrape the ice off the windshield in my car. I was thankful for the ice scraper this morning. Otherwise, I would have had to sit there and wait to, I don't know what I would have done, but wait for the heat to melt the ice. I don't know. But I'm thankful that I had that ice scraper. I'm thankful for the things that I have. But God tells us here, Christ tells us as he's speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, that we should be thankful for those things, but above all things, seek first the kingdom of God. So our thankfulness, our thanksgiving should not be based on material things alone. If you turn with me to John chapter 9, Jesus is going along with the disciples and they meet a man who has been blind since he was born. And they come along and the disciples are a little confused about this situation and wondering why the man is blind. And so they ask Jesus about it. Here's what he says. As they passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. He goes on to heal this man. But the question the disciples ask is really central to what we're talking about today. What was the problem with this guy? What was the reason that he was born blind? Why did he have something wrong with his health? what was wrong with him? And Jesus said, really, it's for the glory of God. And this man was healed, but there are others who weren't healed in the Bible. There's people today that still people fervently pray for, but for some reason aren't healed. God still gets glory for those things because he still stands on his throne and he still is sovereign and takes care of all things. And while we don't know why everything happens the way that it does, we can trust God's word that he stands over all things and takes care of all things. And so our thanksgiving shouldn't be rooted in our health. It shouldn't be rooted in how well we're doing, how well that we feel. Shouldn't be rooted in the things that we have, and it shouldn't be rooted in the health that we have. It looks like everyone is doing relatively well. You made it in this morning. You were able to come. And so we can be thankful for that. But our thanksgiving shouldn't be rooted in the fact that God has given us the health that he has given us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to look at a third thing that thanksgiving should not be based upon this morning. And this is really central to what we're talking about. Because Jesus gets to the root of the matter. He says this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He says, whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves his son or his daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And here we learn that thanksgiving should not be based upon our friends and our family. And at first when I read this, I'm a little offended because I'm so thankful for the family that God has given me. I'm blessed this morning in the middle service, I had my brother and sister-in-law come, and then in this service, I've got my mother-in-law and father-in-law. They're here with us today. I'm thankful for the family that I have. I'm thankful for the in-laws that I have. We have a wonderful family that loves the Lord. They go and they serve in the churches that they're a part of. I grew up in a family that raised me to love God, and I am so thankful for that. But here Christ says something. He says, don't love your mother or your father, don't love your son or your daughter more than me. Because the moment we love really anything, not just our friends and our family, not just our health, not just the things that we have, the moment we love any of those things more than God, it becomes idol worship. And he's not saying don't be thankful for those things, because we absolutely should be. But he says the thing that is central to thanksgiving is Christ. And notice what he says there. Three times he says, you're not worthy of me. And he closes out by saying, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He's saying, if you don't live a life that reflects true thanksgiving, then you are not my disciple. And so it's my hope and prayer that we live lives that want to honor God, that seek to follow God, and are thankful for all the things that he has given us. But most of all, our thanksgiving is rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to go back to Colossians. We're going to look at kind of how Paul fleshes that out, how he explains that all throughout the rest of the book. We're going to take a look at each chapter and see what Paul says about what thanksgiving is. It is as it is rooted and built in Christ. And so what is thanksgiving built upon? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, he says this, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. Here's how you walk this life out. Here's how you live out your faith. He says, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him in the established faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so our faith in Christ should be abounding in thanksgiving. As we walk out our faith, as we live out our faith, as we live a life of thanksgiving, it should be a faith that is overflowing with thanksgiving. That word there means that it is immeasurable. You look at someone and you can't even measure how much thanksgiving they have. And as I thought about that, I remembered when I was a young child and I received Christmas gifts. And it was actually a lot of times, unfortunately, the exact opposite. You see, because in my family, when we got gifts, we all went to my grandmother's, and each child, each cousin, each grandchild would have their set of gifts. They would be passed out. We'd all kind of have our pile. And if you were like me, you knew which gifts you were excited about, especially the ones in the little boxes, and you could shake them a little bit, and there was a rattle to them, because they were Legos. And I loved Legos growing up. And so I would know where those boxes were, and those were the first ones I would open up because I was excited and I was thankful for those Legos because I just loved putting them together. I loved playing with them. And so those are the first things I jumped to. Then you jump to the boxes that kind of looked like a toy. They may not rattled, so you didn't know exactly what it was, but you knew it was probably a toy. And so you'd go to those next, and you'd look to see who gave you each gift. And then lastly, you came to the boxes that they were about that long, that wide, and about that tall. And you knew those were clothes. And so you kind of just reluctantly start to open those up. And you'd peek open the box just to make sure, because I had that one aunt that she would like hide toys in clothes. And so, but you'd open it up and you'd say, oh, it's a sweater, and you'd push it aside. And my mom would come over and she'd say, oh, what did you get? And a sweater. And you know, let me see, hold it up. And she'd, who gave it to you? And, I don't know. And I'm trying to look. Did you say thank you? She wouldn't say that about anything else. You just naturally go up and say, oh, thank you for this set of Legos. But that, you'd have to go up and you kind of walk over and thank you. You know, and you could just tell. I mean, there was no real sense of thanksgiving in that whatsoever. Now, I've changed. I'll enjoy anything I get. I enjoy clothes. I enjoy shopping for clothes, getting clothes. But here's the thing. We learn from that. We should live lives that overflow with thanksgiving. It doesn't matter what Christmas brings or what life brings in general, because we have a God and Father who cares for us and loves us. And He sent a Savior. He sent Christ to come and die for us, to die for the sins that we commit. And He took our punishment that we deserve. I'm sorry, He took the punishment that we deserve. And even though we didn't deserve it, He gave us eternal life. He rose from the grave to give us life in heaven with Him forever. And that's what we should be thankful for. So much that our life overflows with it, that people look at it and go, there's something different about that person. And it's because our lives overflow with thanksgiving. They abound with thanksgiving. And so Paul says, I am thankful for you. He says, because you've received Christ, you walk in Him. And I pray that your life is established in this faith and abounds in thanksgiving. And so how does that work out? How is that fleshed out? Paul begins to explain that in chapter 3. And he talks about what does it mean for us to live out our faith? And how do we do that? He talks about in the end of chapter 2 about living this new life in Christ and following Him. And what does that new life look like? And he's beginning to explain this in chapter 3. And so here's what he says, beginning in verse 12. He said, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness and humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, give thanks to God and Father through Him. And so Paul starts to talk about how this is lived out in our life. He says to put on these things. He gives this image of us putting on something, like we're putting on a jacket or a sweater. He shows us that we should put on these character traits in our life. And you say, Pastor Dave, you don't understand. I know you talked about being thankful for the things that you have and friends and family, but you don't know my family, all right? Maybe Thanksgiving and Christmas isn't so much as a joy as it is as having to go to a party at work or having to go and spend time with Aunt so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so around the family. And you go, I am not thankful for them in the least bit. And here's what he says. He says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And he said, a life of thanksgiving that overflows with thanksgiving is a life that is kind and compassionate and loving to others. And he says, and all things love binds all of them together. And he teaches us a life of thankfulness for what Christ has done for us is a life that shows kindness to others, even when they don't deserve it, because Christ loved us and forgave us, even though we didn't deserve it. And so he begins to talk about how this works, and he really explains three things about what Thanksgiving should be built upon. It's all built upon Christ, but what are three things in Christ that Thanksgiving is built upon that allows us to live out this life that honors God? And so in verse 15, he mentions the first one. He says this, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And when I first read that, I thought about the fact that the peace of God is able to fill us when we lose any of those things that I mentioned before, when we lose the things that we have, maybe because a job is lost, or something happens and it's taken away. We lose a friend or a family member because they've died. We lose the health that we may have because of a prognosis that's given. And when any of those things happen, if our Thanksgiving is rooted in those, we lose our hope. But he says we have peace through God. But even more than that, here's what he's really talking about. He's not just talking about the peace that transcends all of those things. When we lose any of those things, the peace of God that fills our life, when any of those things may be lost, he's talking about our peace between each other and between one another. And so Thanksgiving is built upon the peace of Christ, because here's what it says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And he's talking about the body of Christ. And so let the peace of Christ rule in your body, in your church, as a body of believers, because first Christ came to repair the enmity between us and the Father. We were at odds with the Father, who is angry with us for the sin that we have, but Christ came to bring peace and to take the punishment that we deserve. And so he said, in the same way, you're supposed to have peace with one another. And how does he close out that verse? And he says, and be thankful. And so as we live out together as a church, as a body of believers that seeks to follow God and that seeks to have thanksgiving in Christ, we should have peace with one another. Doesn't mean we always agree. Absolutely, we certainly don't. All right, I can tell you that definitely happens with the children sometimes. There's a game that we play and they don't agree with each other. But at the end of the day, if we believe that we serve a God who came to bring peace in our lives, and Christ who came to bring peace between us and the Father, then we should seek to have peace with others. We won't always agree, but God says to us, he wants us to have peace in Christ and be thankful for that. I'm thankful for a church where we have a body of believers that is peaceful and loves one another. He goes on and he says, Thanksgiving is not just based upon the peace of Christ, but it's based upon the word of Christ. In verse 16, he says this, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And he says, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. And the word of Christ there, he's talking about the good news of Christ. It's the gospel. It's the good news that Christ has come and taken the punishment of our sins. He come and become our Savior. It's the truth that Christ came and loved us even though we didn't deserve it. And so the message of that, the gospel, should be a part of everything that we say and we do. When we come in on Sundays and we talk about and we open up God's word and we read it in fusion and we share it with one another in a meal after church and we talk about what we've read in his word, as we come and we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as we come together and we do that, we sing it all based and rooted upon the gospel. I've had personal conversations with Pastor Steve before, and he's talking about how the songs that we sing should be rooted in the gospel, and they should tell the good news of Christ. And so I'm excited and love being a part of a church where we sing songs that glorify God and proclaim the word of Christ. And so our thanksgiving comes in everything we say and everything that we sing. And so it comes in the peace of Christ as we live with one another. It comes in the word of Christ as we worship together. And then finally, the last thing, it comes in the work of Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God and Father through him." And so he says, whatever you do, give thanks in Christ. Whether it's going to work, whether it's taking care of your family, whether it's going and being a part of your family during the holidays, whether it's going and coming and worshiping together with your faith family, whatever you do in word or in deed, when you go shopping, when you go to the grocery store, when you pump gas at the gas station and there's someone who's rude to you, whatever it is, in word or in deed, everything should be built with thanks for Christ and what he has done for you. And people should look at us and go, their life is overflowing with thanksgiving because something is different about them, because we have a Savior who's come and has died for us and been raised again to give us eternal life. And so our life should be built upon thanksgiving that is rooted in the peace of Christ, that's rooted in the word of Christ, and that's rooted in the work of Christ. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be thankful for so many other things. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be thankful for the things that we have, for the stuff that God has given us, the good stuff. I love the kid that said, "I'm thankful for the good stuff." I'm thankful for the good stuff too. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be thankful for that, but it means that we should be thankful, and our thankfulness should be rooted in Christ, and that our life should reflect that. And so we should go out and live a life that loves others because Christ first loved us. And it means that if one of those things goes away, that we still have a hope, because our hope is not found here on earth, but our hope is in heaven, where those things won't matter, because there we'll get to live eternally with our Savior. And so he begins to wrap this up in chapter 4. And he leaves the church at Colossae with a challenge in many ways. He's preaching to the crowd. He's preaching to the people who are living out their faith, who are loving one another. And he's just teaching them more about what it means to follow Christ and to know him and to be thankful for him. And he closes it out with this statement. In chapter 4, verse 2, he says this. He says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer and being watchful with thanksgiving." He says, as you go, be in prayer, watchful for the things that God is going to do. Watchful for the things that he is going to receive glory through. Watchful for the things that God is doing in your life, because ultimately Christ has already come. He's taken the punishment for our sin, and he's our Savior, and he's already given us eternal life. Be watchful for those things that God is doing and live a life that is abounding in thanksgiving. So as Pastor Steve and the worship team comes back up on the stage, I hope that's our prayer today, that we live a life that is abounding in thanksgiving, that we come in prayer watchful and thankful for what God is going to do, even the things that he hasn't done yet in our life, even the things that he's still yet to do. And maybe you're here today and you say, "This is really hard, because to be honest, I'd say I don't know what it means to be thankful for Christ because I've never received him as my Lord and Savior." We would come. We'd love to tell you and share with you more about what that means. for Christ to be your Savior, why he came, died, and rose again to give you salvation. If you're coming and you say, you know what, I am thankful for that, but I've never thanked God for it by being baptized. Maybe you'd come and you'd want to say, I'd love to be baptized today. Or maybe you'd say, I've come today and I've never shown my thankfulness for this faith family, and I want to come and join as a member. There are so many things we have to be thankful for. We can come and we can sing in thanksgiving in the last song, or maybe God's just calling you to come and pray and be watchful in thanksgiving for what he will do. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the message that Paul brings us in the book of Colossians. We thank you that Christ came and loved us when we didn't deserve it, died on the cross to take the punishment for our sins, and rose again to give us eternal life. And Father, I pray that we are thankful for that, that our thanksgiving is not rooted in the things that we have, not rooted in our health, our friends, our family, or anything else. But Father, it's rooted in Christ, our thankfulness for him. And I pray that our lives are abounding with joy and thanksgiving for what he has done. Father, we thank you because all of you is more than enough for me. All of you is more than enough for every thirst and every need, for you satisfy me with your love. Because Father, all I have in you is more than enough. Pastor Rick will be down front. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. Father, may we glorify you now in song and in word and in deed. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.